Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
Have you ever felt like you were out on the ocean in a rowboat in the middle of a hurricane? I'm talking, of course, about emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Have you ever felt like you were out in that little boat and that the winds and the waves are so boisterous and terrible that you really fear for your spiritual lives? You feel like you're about to be dashed against a rocky shoreline. You feel as though the boat in which you're riding has just about endured all that it can take. I guess all of us have. At some time or another, we've all felt that way. It may be the case that many of you this morning feel that way even now. Maybe the storms are crashing about you, and you feel like that little boat. But if that is the case, what are we to do? How are we supposed to react when we feel like spiritually, emotionally, that we've about handled all we can? How are we able, what are we to do to weather the storm? I think the keys to surviving stormy seas are found in our text today. And if you're taking notes, that's what I'd put at the top of the page. Surviving stormy seas. If you have your Bibles open to Matthew 14, we'll be taking our lesson from that text. But let's first of all remember the background in which we find what we're reading today. Jesus was at the end of a very long day, a very busy day. He had healed many that were sick. Verse 14 of that chapter tells us. He had fed thousands of people with just a little boy's lunch. 5,000 was the number of the men. The women and children weren't even included in that number. We learned that also from the chapter, verses 15 through 21. And as the evening was drawing near, the Bible says Jesus sent the multitudes away, made His disciples get into a boat to sail across the Sea of Galilee, and He went off into a mountain by Himself to pray. And now as we pick up the story, as we kind of work ourselves through this text, I want for us to remember six things. Six keys that will help us to survive stormy seas. And here they are. Number one. We need to remember, first of all, that we cannot always control the weather. We can't always control the weather. As we look at verse 24, we see that the disciples head out in their boat across the Sea of Galilee when all of a sudden a storm comes up, which was not uncommon for the Sea of Galilee for that to happen just based upon the topography of the area. And this major storm arises and the boat is being tossed, the text says. The word literally means tormented, tortured. The winds were high, the waves were high, and the boat was simply being tossed about. Now obviously the disciples had no control over that. They couldn't control the weather. They were simply caught in a storm that had nothing to do with anything that they had any mastery over. Obviously, had they had control, they probably would not have endured or encountered a storm such as that. But the winds were going to blow whether they liked it or not. The waves were going to crash against the sides of the boat whether they liked it or not, because they couldn't control the weather. Neither can we. A lot of times we have to face the storms of life, and they're storms that we can't control. Because if we could, we probably would not create situations in which we had to face life's storms. If we could control everything around us, do you think we would willingly allow ourselves to face the things that we often describe as storms in life? The deaths of loved ones, illness, disease, heartache, maybe financial trouble, perhaps the upheaval within families, relationship problems, husband, wife, parent, child. You know, those are the kinds of things that often are the storms that we have to face. And so if we had control of the weather, we probably wouldn't make ourselves face those kinds of things. But I want you to think about this point. I wonder if that may not be why God's created the situation in which we don't have control of the weather. Because the Bible makes it clear that a lot of the good traits, a lot of the good character traits that we so much need and really desire are characteristics that can only become ours as we weather the storms of life. What did James say? Chapter 1, verse 3. The trying of your faith produces patience. How did Paul put it? Romans 5, verse 4. Tribulation works perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. See, God's created the world in a way in which those kinds of characteristics that we really need, that we really desire, can only be ours as we pass through the crucible of suffering, as we weather the storms of life. So because we can't control the weather may not be, in every case, a bad thing. If the storm had not arisen with Peter and these other disciples, they would not have been impacted as strongly with the lessons that the Lord wanted them to learn about faith and trust as they would have been otherwise. The Lord could have come to them and said, "Fellas, you need to trust me. Fellas, you need to have faith in me." And while that would have been important, and if the Lord had said it, it would have been worthy of their attention, that's certainly true. But as they go through this incident where they have to weather this storm and all the things that go with it, those lessons about faith and trust no doubt meant a whole lot more to them after that storm was over than they would have been had they not endured the storm at all. And so let's remember, number one, we can't always control the weather. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Number two, storms can affect our vision. Storms can affect our vision. As we continue and look at verses 25 and 26, the disciples are being tossed about in this boat, and during the fourth watch of the night, which was between what we would know as 3 and 6 a.m., Jesus leaves the place where he had been praying and begins to walk out across the Sea of Galilee, across the water, in the middle of the storm to where the disciples were in the boat. And the text tells us that when the disciples saw him, they were troubled. Troubled does not capture that Greek word. The word means terrified. They were terrified at what they saw. They looked out and saw something approaching them, walking across the water. And they thought it was some kind of apparition, some kind of ghost. And they cried out in fear. Cried out, literally translated, screamed. So get the picture in your mind. Here was the Lord approaching them, but because of the storm, because of the wind, the waves, everything else associated with the storm, they could not recognize exactly what they saw. And it caused them terror. But what was the reality? The Lord was actually getting closer to them, right? which was a good thing. But because the storm so affected their vision, their perceptions, they were not thinking that they were seeing what in reality they were seeing. Storms affect perception. And so even though it was a good thing that the Lord was approaching them, even though reality was that the Lord was nearer now than He was before, and the storm was nearer to being over than it was before, all they saw was another problem. Why? Because storms affect vision. How many of us have been driving down the road in a downpour? In a road that's familiar to us. And because the rain is coming down so hard, we can't see clearly. Can't see the road signs, can't see the car in front of you. Storms affect vision. Both physical storms and spiritual. See, many times when we're facing the storms of life, it's hard for us to see things as clearly as we would like. And it's hard for us to see things sometimes as they really are. Because storms affect perception. See, there's no question back in our text that the disciples were looking at Jesus. That's who they were looking at. Their Savior, their friend, but that's not what they thought they saw. If you're being tossed about today by some kind of storm, it may be that your storm is causing you to not see things as clearly as you may see them otherwise. I certainly don't know each individual situation, but I think we need to leave open the possibility that perhaps, just like in this case, your storm may be nearer to being over now than it was previously. But at this point, you can't see it. Perhaps the Lord is closer to you now than He was previously. But because of the effects of the storm, it's difficult to see. But it may be that because of that difficulty, because of the effect that it has on our perceptions, perhaps you're still having to deal with anxiety and fear, still ruling your mind. Well, that leads us to our next point, number 3. Words from Jesus can sharpen our perceptions. While the storms can affect our perceptions in a bad way, words that come from the Lord can sharpen those perceptions. Look at what happens in verse 27. As Peter and the rest of the disciples are screaming in terror, as Jesus approaches them, He calms their fears with a few spoken words. Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid. Even though the storm still raging, waves still crashing, wind still blowing, but at least now the disciples knew that things were going to get better. A few words from the Lord cleared up their perceptions. Now they realize it's not a ghost, it's not an apparition, it's the Lord Himself. So their vision was cleared up, and it helped greatly. Even though they didn't know the reason behind the storm, even though they didn't know how long the storm was going to last, even though still at this point, they didn't know what else might lie ahead of them. There were still a lot of unanswered questions. But they were helped, and they were helped greatly by simply listening to the words of Jesus. We need no less today. When the storms of life seem to be getting the upper hand on us, we need to remember that there is assurance to be found. There is calmness to be enjoyed. Just by immersing ourselves in the words of our Lord. That can help us to weather the storms. And so that means in our stormy seas, we need to be spending a lot of time with this book. We need to spend a lot of time allowing the Lord to speak to us through the pages of God's Word. And just like the disciples had some of their fears allayed at the words of Christ, we can too. Does not the Bible speak, Romans 15:4, of the comfort of the Scriptures? They can be and are a great comfort during the storms of life. Just like those words that Jesus spoke cleared up the perception of the disciples and helped them to see that they weren't alone. That same message can clear up our perceptions and give us that same assurance. We need to remind ourselves when the storms are raging about us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Did not Paul say that? Romans 8:35 through 39. It doesn't matter if it's tribulation. Doesn't matter if it's persecution. Doesn't matter if it's famine, nakedness, peril, sword. It matters not what it is. Nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, if that doesn't help us to weather the storms of life, I know nothing that will. We can be assured and remember these things, finding confidence in the fact that God is not going to leave me alone. He's going to finish what He's begun. Paul said to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6, I'm confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will complete it, even until the day of Christ. That ought to give us assurance. That even when the storms are raging about us, God's not left us alone. God's not finished with us yet. And God will accomplish and finish His work. That ought to give us hope. That ought to give us something we can hold on to. It should also help us to realize that God has not given us a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. God's not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power and a spirit of love and soundness of mind. Folks, if God doesn't give me my fear, where does it come from? We also can be encouraged by remembering that we can find grace and mercy to help in every time of need. Hebrews 4:16. We can find help and assurance when we let the Lord speak to us through His Word and we read things like 1 John 3, verse 1. That I am God's child and He loves me. Behold, what manner of love the Heavenly Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Brethren, there are countless passages in Scripture that can and should bring us the assurance that can clear up our perceptions as the storms are raging about us. And all of those things are true, even when those storms seem like they may be more than we can bear. You know, nothing changes that those realities. I'm still God's child regardless of the storm. He still loves me regardless of the severity of the waves and the wind. It doesn't matter what's happening all around us. None of that storm business changes any of those realities. What often changes is that we allow the storms to so affect our perceptions that we no longer recognize what we have always really known. So words from the Lord can clear up our perceptions. Now add to that number 4, which is a similar point. Words from Christ can empower and embolden us. Words from Christ can empower and embolden us. Look at what happened to Peter. The Lord comes and speaks to the disciples, comforts them by saying, be of good cheer, don't be afraid. No reason to be terrified. It's I. And what does Peter do? Peter, based upon the comforting words of Christ, is now ready to face the storm instead of being afraid of it. He is now ready to conquer the same storm that just minutes before had him fearing for his life. And what was the difference? What was the change between Peter being terrified of the storm and now ready to conquer it? Words of Christ. His exposure to and acceptance of what Jesus said. Folks, the words of the Lord can empower us. They can give us courage and motivation to face our storms. Motivation, courage, incentive, power to step out of our boat and face the storm. Words of Christ can clear up our perceptions and they can give us strength and courage. Number 5. Surviving stormy seas. Number 5. There is nothing to gain by doubting the Lord. There's nothing to gain by doubting the Lord. As Peter walks further and further away from the boat, all of a sudden he notices the storm is still there. Storm hasn't ceased. The winds are still whipping like they were. Waves still crashing like they were. And as he realizes that the storm is still there, and as he focuses his attention on the storm, he begins to sink. The storm that he had for the moment conquered was now getting the upper hand once more. Why? Because Peter stopped looking at the Lord. He stopped focusing on the Lord, the source of his strength and power, and allowed his mind to become preoccupied with the storm. Do we do that sometimes? So easy to do, but sure we do. Sometimes our storms are so severe that we allow ourselves to focus so much on the storms that we take our focus off of the one who can help us conquer the storms. And many times we begin to sink. We lose our courage. You see, sometimes just because we turn to the Lord, doesn't automatically mean that the storm's going to cease immediately. Sometimes we think it will. Sometimes we feel like that if we're going through a terrible time, that if I just turn immediately to God and pray and ask His help, that the storm will be taken away immediately. And then when it's not, we think something's wrong. We think there's something amiss, and so we begin to think that there's something to gain by doubting God and putting our faith and trust somewhere else. Incidentally, the Lord's question to Peter, "Why did you doubt?" doesn't really capture the essence of what he's asking there. Literally, the question is, "Into what did you doubt?" Into what did you doubt? And it expresses the idea, Peter, what did you hope to get? What did you hope to gain by doubting me? Jesus is not asking, Peter, what's the reason behind your doubt? He's asking, what were you hoping to gain by doubting? And it asks a good question. What is there to gain by doubting God? You see, when we sometimes begin to think that the Lord either has not the ability to help us through the storm, nor maybe the desire to help us through the storm, that's when we begin to think that maybe there's something better, maybe there's something to gain by trusting someone or something else. I don't know what it was that caused Peter to doubt. I don't know if he doubted the Lord's ability to save him, or whether he doubted the Lord's desire to save him, but he doubted something. And it caused him to sink. He took his focus off of Christ. And we can't do that. That's a fatal mistake. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. A different analogy. He was talking about running a race. But do you remember how he said to run the race? Hebrews 12, 2. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we've got to do it. It's the only way to do it. Because if we don't, we're setting ourselves up to entertain doubts. And it'll cause us to sink. But interestingly enough, even though Peter doubted, who was it that ultimately saved him? The Lord. So regardless of, even if we doubt ourselves, even if we ourselves doubt the Lord, If we're saved at all from whatever storms we're facing, it will be the Lord that saves us. Therefore, there's nothing to gain by doubting Him. He's the only one that can see us through the storm. Number six. Our storms will end sometime. Our storms will end sometime. The disciples didn't know when this particular storm was going to cease. But it ceased when the Lord was ready for it to cease. We don't know about our storms. Whatever storm you may be facing today, I don't have any idea when it might cease. When the Lord is ready, it will. But we've got to remember, too, that our storm may not be over until we depart this life. And the reality of it is, each of us, there are storms that all of us will face that will not be over until we depart this life. Any of you ever get tired of temptation? Any of you ever get tired of having to face it day after day after day? I do. But you know what? That storm's not going to be over until we depart this life. There may be other storms that fall into that same category that will be ours until this life is over. But let's not forget what's waiting for us when this life is over. No sickness, no disease, no heartache, no pain, no death. See, all of those things will be bygone memories when this life is over. Our storms will end at some point, and that should give us hope. And when our storm is over, our reaction should be, and no doubt will be, the same as the disciples. They worshiped Him. And no doubt we will worship, honor, and praise the One who never left us through the storm, but who gave us all that we needed to weather it. What are the seas like on which you sail today? Are they windy? Are the waves crashing about you? If they are, let me encourage you to remember what we've talked about today. Let's remember that messages from God can calm, can motivate, and empower. And so spend time immersing yourself in God's Word. Read the book of Psalms, and specifically, read Psalm 27. Read Psalm 37. Read Psalm 46. Read Psalm 56. Read the passages that can help us to focus on the promises of God and the presence of God. Let's remember, too, not to focus on things we can't control, but instead focus on the One who can control what we cannot. Remember also that there's nothing to gain by doubting God. Just trust Him to handle the storm in His own way, on His own time schedule, because He seeks your good. He cares for you, 1 Peter 5:7. And then follow His instructions. When Peter was emboldened by the words of Christ, Jesus said, "Peter, come." And what did Peter do? He did. That's the way we ought to react. Whatever it is that the Lord wants us to do, as we spend our time in His Word and we read how He would have us to live, that's what we have to do. We have to be compliant. We have to be obedient to Him. Because He does seek our good. And He knows what's best for us. And so let's follow His instructions. That's the only way to survive stormy seas. For those of you that are not His children today, for you to obey His instructions means that you've got to trust Him, just like Peter had to trust Him. You've got to trust Him. Believe in Him with all of your heart. And you've got to be willing to repent of your sins. Turn from them. Turn from your past and make a commitment that you're going to live for Him. That's repentance. And that always results in and is tied to a change in your action. Your change of mind is going to result in you making some life changes. Not the least of which is expressing your willingness to be obedient by allowing yourself to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. If you haven't done that today, there's no reason for you to delay any longer. If you understand what you must do, then please take advantage of this opportunity to do it. Christian, if you're sailing on stormy seas today, and you've recognized that you've taken your focus off of the Lord and you focus too much on the storm, I hope today that you'll recognize and know and realize that there's no future in focusing on the storm because we can't control the weather. Focus on the one that can see us through the storm and allow Him to be your guide and your help. If you need to respond today as one of His children who has not exhibited the kind of faith and trust that you should, don't pass up this opportunity to make things right with God. He wants to help you. Be submissive to Him and allow Him to do so.